It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that began way back in 1979. We're pleased this morning to have on the general manager of the Quad City River Bandits, Mr. Joe Kubley. And I know when we talk about baseball, we often hear the old adage of if you watch baseball long enough, they say, you'll see just about everything. Joe Kubley, good morning, man. We're seeing just about everything, and that's no games. I know it's a tough time out there, isn't it? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. You definitely got that right. We're supposed to open up here on April 9th, and obviously everything that's going on in our world right now is going to hold us from having our opening day, unfortunately. But, it's obviously something to look forward to. We're going to have baseball at some point this summer, once it's safe for the fans, the players, and our staff to get back to it. So, for us, we're still looking forward to opening day, whatever it may be, and we're still getting ready.
Well, and I guess that's kind of a perfect segue here, Joe, is maybe that's really the perfect celebration of how we get back to life, man. Baseball on a summer day. That's how we get out of this thing, right?
Hey, I'll tell you what, I couldn't think of a better scenario. I mean, I think everybody's cooped up at home, and once we get to the point, like I said, we're at safe. Hopefully, that's in the next few weeks here. Baseball is going to be the sport that's on the docket. I mean, I think we'll probably have some sort of basketball that'll kick back in, maybe, and things like that. But I think when you say summer sports, you don't think much about basketball and hockey at that point. You think more about baseball, and I think for everybody here in the Quad Cities and the surrounding areas, we're going to be the sports option to go to once things get back to normal.
And I know, Joe, that the attention, the NBA, the college basketball tournament, the National Hockey League, and now Major League Baseball, a lot of that getting the national attention, deservedly so, because people are missing, opening day baseball. They're missing the Final Four this weekend. But let's go down to the minor league level and kind of how you guys have been dealing with kind of this developing pandemic and responding to it and trying to figure out, hey, how are we going to move forward? What's set from the regular season of Major League Baseball? How does that trickle down to minor league baseball? What does the schedule look like? So kind of take us through what it's been like for you.
Yeah, I guess for us, that's probably the most common question we get is, okay, well, when is your opening day going to be? How many games are you going to play? And so forth. And obviously for us, our players get assigned to us from our major league affiliates. So obviously, we don't have any players on site or anything at this point. They all come after spring training kind of, finalizes for the year. So for us, right, we're just waiting on the word from obviously Major League Baseball, and then that'll trickle down to Minor League Baseball. They are two completely separate entities. Like I said, we just get the players from our affiliate and so forth. But obviously, Minor League Baseball is currently working with Major League Baseball. Our government and the health officials that are involved there, even going as far to local restrictions and so forth. So I think once we have a laid out format from Major League Baseball, which people who follow sports know that they've talked about everything from they still want to get a full season in, they want to do double headers, they even talked about having playoffs and World Series games go into December at sites that may have a dome or warmer weather. Obviously, we don't have that type of structure here. For us, we're still, hopeful that we'll get our full 70 home games in here. Obviously, a lot of this is going to depend on, how this, pandemic and virus kind of comes to a halt on its own, and we can get back to, I guess you'd say, normal life. But, hopefully we get started up here in the next, 6 weeks. And, if that's the case, and we're able to maybe, like I said, your guess is as good as mine on what we'll be able to do at this point. But you know, maybe some doubleheaders, maybe some games on off days. You know, maybe we can even extend the season. So, you know, for us, obviously April. You know, I don't foresee us, you know, playing any time in April, just for the fact that the CDC guidelines are no events through the end of the month. So, you know, even with that being said, for us living in the mighty Midwest here, we know April isn't always the best to us. Still get a lot of rain. I remember, you know, back here in Quad Cities, I think we got snowed out one time back in 2014, I think it was, or 2015. So, you know, for us, April is always always tough, no matter how you look at it. So, you know, if we were able to maybe move some of those games that we would have played in April to maybe you know, the end of September, or maybe you know, I'm being real optimistic here, the beginning of October, you know, I think that would be exciting, you know, not only for us, but just for fans in general. I know football starts up at that point, but you know, that's more of your Saturdays and so forth. But you know, maybe we have baseball during the week in October. Your guess is as good as mine at this point. But you know, yeah, we're just continuing to work through this, and you know, as we get information here, we'll get it out to our media outlets and the public, you know, via our social media and so forth at this point. So, which is just kind of a wait and see at this point. So,
well, and you know, from a minor league baseball standpoint, you know, and you mentioned April, with the flood issues in the past with the Quad Cities and the Mississippi River, you've always, it seems like really you've had to deal with that almost every other year. That may not be in fact true, but I mean, there's always flooding issues when you talk about the Mississippi River in April, sometimes through May and June. But I mean, you need minor league baseball, and I'm not talking just as it relates to Quad Cities. I'm talking about Peoria. I'm talking about Clinton. I'm talking about Burlington, because a lot of our listeners, we're located in a perfect, in Mercer County, really, our listening audience, we're in a perfect location, because you can go to Modern Woodman Park. I think that's where most of the people go here. And Joe Kubley says, yeah, you better. But, I mean, we can go to Burlington, and that's a nice venue. I've been there, and I've been to Peoria with the Chiefs ballpark along the Illinois River, and I've been to Clinton. And I really pray for those minor league franchises that they get June, July, and August. They need the summer months, you know, and if you have to extend the season, I get that. But the volume of your business is really about June, July, August, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you really kind of nailed that on the head there, right? You know, for us, you know, obviously, like you said, you know, even bringing flooding here, you know, my first stint with the team here in 2014 and 2015, yeah, we got hit pretty hard in 14, but you know, 2015 it was pretty clear, and you know, I even think this year, you know, even kind of looking where the river currently stands, you know, I don't think we were going to get anywhere near what these guys dealt with last year. But you know, like I said, I was part of that group in 2014 where we were completely flooded out on the 4th of July, both of our parking lots, and we had the bridge built to get into the park, and you know, I don't remember the exact number, but I still think we had like 5,000 people in the park. So, you know, fans, you know, the community, they're going to find a way to get out to sporting events, no matter what's holding them back. So, you know, I even think with everything that's going on now, once we get to go, to be outside again and be part of large groups, I think you're going to see some big crowds, you know, not only at Modern Woodman Park, but you know, you're going to see crowds like that, like you said, up in Clinton and Peoria and Burlington. And you know, that's the one cool thing about minor league baseball that I don't think people realize across the nation is, you know, there's 160 minor league baseball teams, where I think, if I remember right, they did some type of map or diagram where it lays all the teams out across America. And I think minor league baseball is the closest option for fans across the country to get out to a game. if I remember right, I think it was like 30 miles or less when they average it out for all the people across America. It's pretty close, mileage wise for you to get to a minor league park somewhere, versus any type of, major league sporting event, whether it's baseball, basketball, hockey. So that's kind of cool to think that, once we do get back to playing sports again and so forth, minor league baseball is going to be a quick drive for almost, anybody across our country.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because that's true for us, really. It's here in Mercer County, it's maybe a 45-minute trip to Burlington. It's a 40-minute trip to see the River Bandits. I think maybe an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes if you want to go see the Peoria Chiefs play in Peoria. So I would say that is true. And I didn't know 160 minor league baseball teams. Can you give some context? I haven't followed the story closely, but I think that the story broke over the winter, or was it late last season, about some type of reconfiguration of Major League Baseball, some movement where they would eliminate some of these minor league teams across the country, and there's concern about what does that impact mean for us locally here. So what is the backstory, I guess, on that, and where do the Quad City River Bandits stand in all of that, I guess?
Yeah, so how it works is Major League Baseball, they are the ones that in theory provide players to us. So when you come up to the ballpark there, you're seeing players that are employees, I guess we'd say, of the Major League affiliate. So, obviously we're Astros, we've been Cardinals in the past, Angels. Those players have always been the employees of the Major League team, and they're, paid by the Major League team. All their benefits come from the Major League team. And then us on the minor league side, we're the ones that I guess you'd say host them. So when they come to our park, we're the ones that take care of the facility. We're the ones that, set up and take care of busing. We set up and take care of, hotels on the road, different things like that. So I think that's where people always kind of been like, oh, I didn't really understand that they were like the affiliate, or how that really works. So what we're currently going through is minor league baseball and Major League Baseball had a 20-year agreement. So more or less it's a set of guidelines. We're gonna provide you with players. You're gonna be one of our 160 affiliates for the next 20 years. And then I believe that contract was renewed for additional 5 years. So through this season, we're going on 25 years of an agreement between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball for those 160 teams. So where they're currently at is, obviously they're negotiating for the future at this point. I guess that's the way we should look at it. Obviously I think, Minor League Baseball is always going to be part of Major League Baseball. I don't think anybody's going to argue with you on that. Some of the things that have come up is, over the last 25 years, different things have changed. Teams move, leagues kind of spread out more or have become more condensed and so forth, or teams have moved from, one league to another league. So I guess, over 25 years, right, things just change. So what they're looking at right now is how do they make sense of everything that's changed over the last 25 years. Obviously for us, in Quad Cities, we haven't changed much except for the ballpark. I mean, our ballpark is one of the best in the nation, and we were even voted the number one park in single A baseball by USA Today a few years back. So, for us, the only thing that's changed here is our facility has gotten that much better. People like to come to Quad Cities. They like our ballpark. It's unique, in comparison to some of your more traditional ballparks. I mean, you can probably speak a little more on this, Jim, where, you've been to the other parks. I mean, I've been to Burlington and Peoria and Clinton as well, but, we're all different in our own unique ways. So currently they're continuing to negotiate here. I know they're there obviously has been some talks about, you know, eliminating teams and then shifting teams and so forth. And, I don't think us in Quad Cities has anything to worry about from that standpoint, just because, our ballpark is kind of one of the gems, I think you'd say, in minor league baseball. But, there is some partners in our league that, they've had their name tossed out a few times about, are the facilities there or they're not. And, I'm not in these talks by any means. This is more of our owners and board of trustees that talk with Major League Baseball and their owners. Facilities kind of seems to be the hot topic, and also travel seems to be the hot topic, where, that may be something that is to our benefit, having Burlington and Clinton, Peoria, where, even you can even throw Cedar Rapids in there, where these are towns we can commute to on a bus for a game, not having to go there, stay in a hotel, and so forth. So when they bring up things like facility and travel, obviously that's a plus, that there is teams that are close. But like I said, facilities differ across the country, and I'm sure we'll have some new standards in place when this is all said and done. But I don't think for us in Quad Cities we'll have to change a whole lot, because I think our facilities are above and beyond most across the country at this point.
So then, if they would eliminate some minor league teams, though, would the affiliation agreements be different then, where it would be more than one team you'd be affiliated with, like the River Bandits? Right now, we know they have the affiliation agreement with the Astros. So if they eliminate some minor league teams, does that mean you would have like the River Bandits would have multiple affiliation agreements, or would it still be you just have one affiliation agreement?
Yeah, so currently that really hasn't been brought up at all yet, that you'd have more than one affiliate. Really what they've brought up was, they in theory want everybody to have the same amount of affiliates, whereas now, you may have some teams that use their spring training complex as a as an affiliate and as a spring training complex. So, like, good example, we have a guy in the office that I used to be in the Florida State League. Their facility has a spring training site, and then they have a full season A team, kind of similar to Quad Cities after spring training ends. But then they also use the complex in the backfield still as like a, I don't know what you'd want to call it, complex league, where they just play each other, or they play people from other spring training complexes each day where there's not really fans there. So there's a lot of different like teams that they don't even count in that 160. The 160 is really just affiliates fielding a team, and then you're playing in front of fans. Whereas they have these other ones that are, sometimes your foreign players, or, if you draft high school kids and so forth, where they're not ready to kind of jump into a full season team like Quad Cities at that point, sometimes they'll play at the complexes still. Now, the issue there is is some teams have a complex they can use all year for spring training, but then there's other teams that share a complex, or they might not have access all year because they're doing, different tournaments and so forth. So there's a lot of variables there where, one minor league team may have, two short season teams, where another one may only have one short season team. Kind of the thing that's really never changed over the last 25 years is everybody has two full season A teams. So that's going to be, equivalent to Quad Cities. Then everybody's going to have one AA and one AAA. So that's never changed along these 25 years. It's just changed kind of from a development standpoint of some of these shorter season. I was at one of these short season teams before I came back here to the River Bandits for my second stint here with the team. And, I was at a facility where the Colorado Rockies actually had two short season teams, whereas some people only had one. And like I said, it was just some type of use of if they had a spring training complex, if they didn't, and so forth. So I think, when you look at this whole how many teams do we have, or are they going to cut teams, are they not? I think it really varies from, you know, major league affiliate to the next. You know, there's really not two that operate the same, I guess you'd say. They each kind of have their own development pattern, what they do, what they don't. And, I think, you know, from what I've understood and even different things I've read is they want more transparency. But the problem is, it's not that easy where you can just say, okay, everybody's going to have this now and this is what you're going to have. So I think that's where, these negotiations have been going on for, since I think it was November. I think they have a better understanding of what everybody wants, but that's the thing. Everybody wants to keep their affiliation, I guess you'd say, but, you know, everybody has different thoughts on what that should look like. So, I think when this is all said and done, obviously, our goal, from the minor league baseball standpoint is that we continue with 160 teams across the country and we go from there. I mean, I can't tell you at this point if that's going to be the case or not, but I know that's kind of our mindset is that, hey, we want to keep everything that's going the way it is. And, you know, there might just be new, facility standards or travel requirements. I think that would be best case scenario. And, hopefully we get another agreement that lasts us 20 to 30 years. And, we're not having this conversation again for a long time.
All right. Speaking with Joe Kubley, man, a lot of great information here this morning. We have more coming up. It's the WRMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning. Joe Kubley is the general manager of the Quad City River Bandits. Man, we need to play some games. And we're going to talk more with Joe Kubley right after this on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
Sometimes when you have more questions than answers about insurance and financial services, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. Your local country financial representative knows that every situation is unique and believes that even the biggest goals start with simple steps. So when it comes to protecting the things you love and planning for the future, don't get overwhelmed. Get started.
Contact your country financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Watt or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Office Specialists understands keeping communities safe is a priority. Office Specialist is open during this unprecedented time as an essential business. They are key in logistics for public safety, municipalities, banks, food service, healthcare, and more. Purchase items by calling 309-342-7711 to arrange curbside pickup or delivery to the Aledo area. Or go to osi.biz to order online. Office Specialist frequently sanitizes surfaces within their facility, their warehouses, and their vehicles. Office Specialists in Galesburg thanks you for your support.
Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Aledo.
Great to have you along on this Saturday morning on the WRMJ Sports Line, and a great guest this morning, Joe Kubley, the general manager of the Quad City River Bandits. I was thinking, I talked to my son about this several times. I've never seen somebody put this together, but I always would like to see, in the history of minor league baseball in the Quad Cities, dating back to the John O'Donnell Stadium days and the affiliation agreement with the Angels, the Twins, the Cardinals, the Cubs. Did I say the Twins and the Astros? I thought, somebody should come up with an all Quad City minor league baseball team, and I could piece some of it together because I'd say Alex Bregman would be the best third baseman that's ever played here, although he was a shortstop when he started. Carlos Correa, a number one draft pick, played here. I saw him play. And then Joe Mauer, who was a great twin, would probably be the all-time Quad City minor league catcher. Somebody needs to put that team together, Joe Kubley, as we wait for games to resume, I guess. But when I look, when we talk about the legacy of minor league baseball in the Quad Cities, man, I think people don't realize some of the dudes that came through here and played. I'm an Astro fan dating back to the late 70s, so I was stoked. I saw Billy Wagner pitch his first game. He was a starter then. I still say one of the best left-handed closers in baseball. And then Mark Appel was the number one overall draft pick. I saw him make his debut in the Quad Cities. Unfortunately, had some arm problems, didn't materialize. But you know, the Astros when they were part of the first affiliation agreement, they brought their top talent level through the Quad Cities. And then their second agreement now, second arrangement with the Astros, especially now, you know, when you say Bregman played here and Correa played here, you're like, wow. I mean, so just that is pretty impressive. But I'd still like to see somebody put together that all-time Quad City Minor League Baseball team position by position. Somebody do that.
Yeah, so Jim, that's actually funny you bring that up. So we're currently, if you go over to our Twitter handle for the River Bandits, we're currently working on putting together teams of each decade currently. So I know there has been some questions posted on there, as there's been different players. We're looking for some feedback right now on, you know, a couple different players from the same era, I guess you'd say, of that, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and then into the 2010s here. From a staff standpoint, we're not real sure, you know, who's the best one at this point. So, those are going to be coming out on our social media.
Oh, that's great,
here,
man. Great.
Yeah, sometime this week.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about your backstory. So you said your second stint with the River Bandits, this first year as general manager. So is that like a boyhood? I'm sure your boyhood dream was probably you wanted to play what, shortstop for the Cardinals or Cubs or something. Or just tell us where you were born, what the kind of game means to you, and I assume you want to make a career of it in Major League Baseball. So tell us about Joe Kubley.
Yeah. So great. Yeah, I grew up not too far from you guys there in Aledo. I grew up in Forston, Illinois, and so forth. Grew up playing baseball and basketball. Those were my choice sports, I guess you'd say. And you know, played those growing up and so forth. You know, for me, you know, sports, you know, something I've always enjoyed. You know, even the sports, you know, I didn't play, like, you know, hockey and football and so forth, but you know, always had somewhat of a passion for baseball and basketball more in general. Obviously for me, went to college at Northern Illinois, undergrad and grad school. And then, my grad school degree is in sports management, more specifically. Undergrad is in education. So, wasn't real sure, you know, exactly what I was going to do there. I think we all kind of went through that, you know, in college, what am I going to do with my life? What am I not? And, you know, I always wanted to do something where I was, you know, dealing with people every day and something I was going to enjoy the rest of my life. So, actually went down to Atlanta, my last semester of grad school there and did an internship with the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Thrashers. So, that was kind of a wild time, somewhat kind of what we're going through right now. You know, when I first got down to Atlanta there, the Thrashers actually got sold to the group that moved them to Winnipeg. So that was kind of crazy that, you know, they kind of took hockey away from the fan base that was there. And, you know, it was definitely a tough time. And then it was about a month later of me being there, the NBA, went to lockout that year. So, kind of a similar vibe to what's going on now. Obviously, I know this is a little bit different, that it's kind of affecting everybody. But, you know, I was down there when there was no sports going on, you know, basketball and hockey related down there at that point. And boy, I can tell you, fans were not happy, and, you know, people were wanting them to get back to playing and so forth. And, obviously then I graduated grad school there and then started full time down there with the Hawks, once they got everything figured out there and the lockout ended. So, kind of a unique situation that I never thought we'd, we'd have anything close to it again. But, you know, here we are now with us being kind of everybody's locked out at this point, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
You know, I went from there, you know, like I said, played basketball growing up, but, you know, baseball was always a passion. So had an opportunity to go to Oklahoma City to their AAA team at that point. They were actually Astros at the time, surprisingly enough. So I was down there with them for a couple years, did a couple different jobs down there, some of their corporate marketing, you know, some of their sales-related stuff. And, you know, obviously, you know, River Bandits, I always knew who they were, you know, growing up, you know, about an hour and 20 minutes from Quad Cities there. So there was an opportunity here with the team to be their director of sales and ticketing, you know, kind of their, you know, I guess you'd say number two, number three with the team from an operational standpoint. So got in contact here with the guys, and next thing you know, I was moving here to Quad Cities for the first time in 2014 and 2015. And you know, as we kind of grew here in Quad Cities, 2015 we had our best season ever. We had over 250,000 people through the gates that year, and you know, we had a lot of those great players you just talked about a minute ago that kind of came through here during 2014 and 2015. And you know, at that point I had an opportunity to move out to Colorado to run the Colorado Rockies short season team in Grand Junction. So went out there for three seasons. Like I said, I was almost out there 4 years in total, and we had a good run out there. Our attendance continued to increase. We had a lot of first round draft picks go through out there, because that's kind of how the Rockies operate, is all their first round draft picks and high draft picks go through the team out there, because they actually own the team, where it's a little bit different from Quad Cities, where you know, Quad Cities is owned by two owners. The team I was out in Grand Junction with was actually owned by the Major League affiliate. And then, you know, obviously everything kind of came full circle. Had an opportunity to come back here to Quad Cities, where I once was, and you know, kind of run the team from here forward. So that's where we're currently at. I guess you said it's my goal to work my way up to the Major Leagues. You know, I really don't think so, to be honest with you. I really like the whole minor league setup and kind of how you're more intermingled with the community and you're really part of something bigger. You know, I can tell you I love waking up every day and going into the ballpark, you know, even during these hard times, because, you know, every day is different. You know, there's never 2 days that are the same. You know, you never know when you're going to have to run some of the airports or getting called up and so forth. But, you know, I always see my future kind of being in minor leagues. You know, for me, this is kind of close to home, so that's a bonus. But, you know, I think if we were talking in, you know, 10 years from now, I'll probably try to work my way up to maybe, you know, double A or triple A team. And you know, that might be where I'm at for the rest of my career.
That's great, 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 great backstory, though. So you what year did you graduate from Forreston then?
So I actually went to Forreston until I was in high school. And then I moved to Appleton, Wisconsin.
Okay.
With my dad. Yeah.
So where did you?
Obviously for me.
You went to Northern Illinois. Where did you go to grad school at then? Did you say where you went to grad school at?
Northern Illinois as well. Yeah. Both.
Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting. So you're telling. So your year of high school graduation was what year then?
2004.
Man, so you've done a lot from you've and I know minor league baseball can be a vagabond lifestyle from 2004 to 2020, because it's interesting what one of our friends of the station we visited with last year, Tommy Thrall, was worked as an announcer for the River Bandits, and he did some work for us here at WRMJ, did some games for us in his off season with the River Bandits. And I actually went out to visit him last summer, my son and I, because he's the he's on the Cincinnati Reds radio team, replaced Marty Brenneman, who's retired. In one of his stops, he talked about, you know, he had to grind his way from, you know, I think 7 or 8 minor league baseball stops before he got the gig at the Cincinnati Reds. So he really was. And by the way, I made the trip. We followed the Houston Astros out to Cincinnati to watch them play. But the other thing you mentioned was so funny to me, because I'm a big local historian. a kid that, I call you a kid because you graduated in 2004, that one of his stops was at the Atlanta Hawks, you said. Now, you know where the Atlanta Hawks originated from, right? They were the Tri-City Blackhawks who played at Wood Fieldhouse in the Quad City. So that Bob Cousy was one of their draft picks, but they traded him away before he ever played. And one of the first professional stops ever for one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. See, I'm teaching people something here this morning, is Red Auerbach. And I talk about that a lot when we do something up at Wharton Fieldhouse. So that's kind of neat. Are you a local history buff and you know that kind of stuff, I assume?
Yep. I'm right there with you on all the background stories there. So, definitely knew all that and so forth. And like I said, I know we started talking baseball today, and we're shifting gears to basketball now. That's just how the world kind of goes around, I guess.
All right. So, one time I went up there, I got invited to an event, and they had Jeff Luhnow come up. And for some reason, I got invited to this. There was only a small gathering for this. And I remember the year it was, they had just signed Ulesky Gurriel, who's the first baseman for the Astros, who they picked up from Cuba. And he hadn't started playing with the big league team yet. So I think that might have been like 2016 or 2015. But I'm just curious, like from an affiliation agreement with the parent club, like how often, and maybe you can't say this, I don't know, but how often does the parent club GM get on the phone and say, hey, Kubley? And you're like, yeah, you need to bat Correa third and play him every day at shortstop. I mean, do you get that type of intel from the people at the top, or does that come from player development people? Or kind of how does that type of relationship work between the parent club and the minor league club in kind of the day-to-day handling of players? Because it can't all be about, you know, it's player development. They want the franchise, I know, to have success at the local level by attendance and that things of that nature, but they also want player development. So what's the fine line there when you talk about the relationship between the parent club and the minor league club, if you can elaborate a little bit on that this morning?
Yeah, so when you look at it from that standpoint, right? I'm not the one getting the call about who's gonna play or who's not. You know, that's gonna go more to the coaching staff more specifically. So when you look at our front office, we have about roughly 20 full-time staff members. That's everybody that's doing everything here in the community. Everything from, ordering giveaways for giveaway nights or setting up fireworks or, running our day-to-day group outings, things like that. And then obviously the Astros, like I said, all the players are going to be their employees. But then they also put the coaching staff in place here. So, when you talk about things like that, I'm going to be more part of, if a player is, getting released, or a player is coming in, or a player is getting moved up, I'm more part of that where, hey, we got to make sure we get to the airport or wherever they need to go and so forth. And more of the day to day and so forth, that's going to go between, your farm director and kind of our manager, I guess you'd say. Some teams have a player development person kind of more on site. The team I was at previous to this, we had a developmental supervisor that was on site where, he wasn't suiting up with the coaches every day. He was kind of in the stands watching the game and, kind of deciding who needed to play that day, who needed to play the next day. So right, that's more on the major league side, and their coaches were my staff is really more running the ballpark and team and taking players out in the community, things like that, where I wouldn't say we really draw a fine line, but it's more or less, hey, we're running the business side, you guys run the baseball side and what's going on in the field. That's kind of how that works. But there is going to be times where we just have kind of one-off things where, I remember back in, I don't remember if it's 2014 or 2015, the, uh, the Astros AAA team was playing in Des Moines against the iCubs, and they had just played like three doubleheaders in a row or something crazy like that.
Wow.
And they didn't have a lot of pitchers on hand. Well, they called down and said, "Hey, we're going to pull one of your pitchers from Quad Cities today. We need to get him to Des Moines in the next, you know, whatever. Can you guys hop in the car and drive him there?" So you know, you're always going to get these one off. So I remember at the time, myself and another guy, we grabbed the player, hopped in the car, and went to Des Moines. He pitched, and we brought him right back to the team.
It was, no kidding.
It was kind of, yeah, one of the wildest things that's happened in, I guess, my career, where it was kind of unique. But hey, I got to go watch a baseball game, and the guy that was there got to pitch a couple innings, and you know, it was unique. So.
So he drove. He drove
like
from. So it was driving from the Quad Cities to Des Moines. Is that was the route? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It was crazy. I remember that day. It was like, I don't remember what it was. It was like 1 p.m. and I remember our GM at the time was like, "Hey, we got to get this guy over there. Do you guys think you guys can hop in the car and take him?" We're like, "Sure, why not? Like, hey, we get to go watch a game, and we'll get the guy there and bring him back." So
that's awesome.
It was one of the memories you get from working at minor league
baseball. All right, great visiting with Joe Kubley. We got one more break, and we still have about 10 minutes left. A lot more coming up, but great conversation this morning about minor league baseball. Very pleased to have Joe Kubley with us, general manager of the Quad City River Bandits. More coming up on WMJ and WMJ.com.
Most people understand the need for life insurance, but not many want to talk about why it's essential to your financial plan. It may seem intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started with Country Financial. Your Country Financial representative will work with you to find life insurance that gives you the protection you need at a price you can afford.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Biola, see me, Troy May.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Office Specialists understands keeping communities safe is a priority. Office Specialists is open during this unprecedented time as an essential business. They are key in logistics for public safety, municipalities, banks, food service, healthcare, and more. Purchase items by calling 309-342-7711 to arrange curbside pickup or delivery to the Aledo area. Or go to osi.biz to order online. Office Specialists frequently sanitizes surfaces within their facility, their warehouses, and their vehicles. Office Specialists in Galesburg thanks you for your support. The human foot is complex with 26 bones, 33 joints, 20 of which are actively articulated, and there's more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments. That's why 6140 Run has Albert, the revolutionary 3D foot scanner. Albert helps customize your shoes specifically to meet your feet. Whether you run, walk, or on your feet for a long time, 6140 Run knows how feet come in all shapes and sizes, and with Albert, you'll get a customized, comfortable fit every time. 6140 Run carries Hoka, Brooks, Mizuno running and walking shoes, and Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. For a better fit for your feet, see 6140 Run on Main Street in downtown Galesburg.
6140 Run showroom is closed to walk-in traffic, but if you need shoes, call for an appointment.
All right, final segment with Joe Kubley, general manager of the Quad City River Bandits. Small-town kid, grew up in Forreston, Illinois, up in the northwest upstate Illini territory. Let's kind of paint a picture here as we wind down with Joe Kubley of, you know, what we need. And I just think about, you know, you're at Modern Woodman Ballpark, right? And it's early July, warm night. You know, the lights are on. You see the backdrop of the Centennial Bridge. Kind of feel that, like, gentle summer breeze right across the back of your neck. Now, can't you wait for that, Joe Kubley? We need that. Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah, amen. I'm there with you. You know, that's the cool thing is whenever we get back to playing here, you know, we're going to be the sporting event I think to do in the area, and you know, we're just going to pick up on our schedule wherever we left off and jump right back into it. And you know, we got a lot of great things planned this year. I know we had 9 bobbleheads lined up for this year, four Astros players, and
save me back four of those. Who are the four Astro players you got?
So we're looking at doing Alvarez.
Oh man, that's right. He played at the River Bandits. I forgot about him. He just tore up the season last year.
Yeah, he really took off there. He was the Rookie of the Year this last year for American League Rookie of the Year, and he's going to be kind of our highlighted one this year. And then we're going to be doing Bregman. All the players this year are going to be in their River Bandits uniform. So I know Alvarez was in our black jersey that had the eyes on it, which he'll be the first bobblehead that'll be in that jersey. That's a jersey I think over just the last two or three years that came into rotation. Bregman, obviously, he was here back when I was here when I first stint with the team. We knew he wasn't going to be here long the way he fielded the ball and batted there. And then we're going to be doing Correa, obviously. He was probably one of the first big name Astros that went through here. And then we're going to do a George Springer who did a long rehab stint here with us. Yeah.
Well, I want all four of those.
There you go. Well, we'll hold them for you. I'll make sure they make their way down to Lido there at some point.
All right. Well, and I know John Hoschider, owner, and the River Bandits have had a long relationship with us here at WMJ. I know sponsoring Cardinal baseball over the years. So when John played in the minor league system with the Kansas City Royals back in the 1970s, and we were talking, I think he said his per diem back then was $6 a day when they were on the road for a meal. So, like, how does it work now for the River Bandits? I think our final segment we can get into this. Like, the living arrangements. So I get it maybe if, like, Correa, who gets a huge signing bonus, or like Bregman, who played here, has a huge signing bonus. Maybe they really, you don't have to worry about them that much because they have the financial wherewithal to do it on their own. But, you know, the majority of the kids and their kids that you're working with, you know, they're coming out of college. Some are coming out of high school. So how does it work, like, per diem on the road for them? And then how are their living arrangements set up? And how is the minor league baseball team involved in all of that?
So that's a great question. So the minor league team isn't involved very much with that because those are all things that are paid by the major league affiliate since they're their employees, right? So we're not ever saying, hey, Alex Bregman, here's your check for the week. You know, that doesn't happen because they're not a River Bandits employee. And like I said, we're owned by, our owner, Dave Heller, and he has a partner and so forth. So, we don't have any hand in that. What I can tell you is, we do have a host family program here, where there is a handful of, people who take players in over the summer. And then obviously the Astros, they do other living arrangements for people, whether it's apartments and so forth. But they really handle that on their side of things. Some teams do kind of the host thing. I can tell you at my last team, everybody went to a host. So obviously we know the host people, we want to make sure they can get out to games and get tickets and so forth too. But that really is kind of, I guess you'd say, monitored or run through the Houston Astros through some of their player development people. When it comes to you're talking about on the road and so forth, all the teams do a pregame spread for the players, when they get in each day. So that's kind of, your lunchtime, I guess you'd say. And then all the players, obviously they do a postgame meal and so forth. So, the players are getting meals at the ballpark and so forth a couple times a day. And it's kind of the same thing on the road. The players do get a per diem on the road. I believe it's 25 a day when they're on the road. That's how it was when I was with the Rockies. I'm not sure if, you know, if the Astros do the same amount. I would assume that's probably kind of a flat standard across the board, I would think, and so forth. So, you know, but even when they're on the road, they're still getting food at the ballpark. You know, that's still how it's working. It's just a little bit more difficult when you're in a hotel and you can't be at home, you know, buying your own food and so forth. And then obviously when it comes to the pay and stuff, you know, we're not part of the, you know, signing bonuses and you know, what everybody's making per week and so forth. That really comes from the major league side since they're their players. So we don't really have any say or any part of that. But, I know, you know, they did just release a report that, you know, all the minor league players are going to keep getting paid through all this and so forth. And, you know, it sounds like some of them are going to be getting raises come next year. And like I said, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about that, unfortunately, because that doesn't really filter down, you know, to us since they're not our employees. But, you know, I mean, when you think back when you were talking to John, you said, I think things have changed a little bit. You know, I mean, it's not $6 a day anymore. And, you know, they're not all sleeping in the clubhouse or anything crazy like that at this point. So, times have changed, but then again, you know, the players are, working towards their dream at this point. And, you know, playing Major League Baseball is all their goals. And, it's not an easy trek by any means. You know, a lot of times these players are starting off at rookie ball or short season. They go to single A for a year or two. And, if they get to double A, they're getting close. But, it's hard to make it to triple A and make it to the major leagues, no doubt.
Yep. All right. Well, we hope that games are played at River Bandits. It's been a perfect combination for them with, you know, the top-notch product they put on the field and then all the other stuff that goes with it, the total fan experience. They got it right in the Quad Cities with minor league baseball. And good to visit with a small-town kid born and raised in Forreston, Illinois, graduated from Appleton, Wisconsin, and is a first-year general manager of the Quad City River Bandits, and get up and support minor league baseball in the Quad Cities. Joe Kubley, man, you've been great today. I really appreciate your time with us this morning, and I'm going to tell you, man, we're going to look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, and like I said, man, that summer night, about 85 degrees, the lights are on, you see that traffic rolling along the Centennial Bridge as a backdrop, and you wait for that summer breeze to hit the back of your neck, man, and hear the crack of the bat. So we're going to get that hopefully in June, but thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's great, and we'll see you down at the station next time, I hope.
All right, play ball, as they say. Joe Kubley, the general manager of the Quad City River Bandits, joining us on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.